Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God. They were getting on in years, but they didn't have any children. And when the angel appeared, went in the temple, Zechariah was in the temple, an angel appeared to Zechariah. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And Elizabeth conceived and bore a son, John. Mary was a virgin engaged to Joseph when an angel appeared to her. The angel called her favored and said the Lord was with her. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You will conceive and bear a son." Mary accepted the responsibility given her by the angel and gave birth to a son, Jesus. Married when he found out that Mary was pregnant with child. He planned to dismiss her when he had a dream. An angel of the Lord said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son." And Joseph followed the angel's bidding, taking Mary as his wife, and he named her son Jesus. Shepherds were in the fields and with their sheep when an angel came to them. They were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. To you is born a Savior who is the Messiah." And they went to Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus in a manger. In the Christmas story, as recorded in Scripture, the angel comes four times and says, "Do not be afraid." Four times, an angel comes to a person with a particular message, calling each to follow. And four times, the angel responds with the same words, "To not be afraid." Four times it was as the angel said it would be. I think that the world events of 2015 have sparked fear among Americans. We hear it in the rhetoric of the politicians in particular. And people react in fear by wanting to keep the immigrants out of our country. People react in fear of those who are not like me. People react in fear because the world is changing and feels out of control. And the human reaction is to hunker down, beef up security, and control the world. But what is God saying? How do we live as followers of Jesus in 2015? First, I want to look a bit at these events that took place in Scripture. What kind of people does God come to? Scripture tells us that Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary and Joseph were righteous. And it tells us that Mary was favored by God. So it appears that God comes to the righteous. But the fourth story is one about the angels coming to the shepherds. And shepherding was a major occupation in Palestine at that time. And we often think of shepherds in a pretty benign, benevolent way as they take care of the sheep and the lambs. And we have this kind of pastoral, nice view of the shepherds. But the truth is that the shepherds were a despised class of people and were considered untrustworthy. Their work made them ceremonially unclean, and their honesty and integrity was questioned to such a degree that they could not testify in a court of law. No statement is made in Scripture about the integrity of the shepherds like it was about the others. So I think we have to look and say that the qualifying factor here is not their righteousness or goodness, or even perfection or innocence, things that we often attribute to Mary, one who was favored by God. But I think the truth is that God comes to everyone. The significant piece is not whether God comes, but whether or not we are listening. God comes, but we may be deaf to the message, ignoring or turning away from what we hear. But for those who hear, God is speaking. Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears listen." So let's listen and hear what God is saying. You likely won't hear in audible words, but you can know the message. We hear in a variety of ways the message that God gives to us. And for those who hear, the next words speak directly to our fear. In every case, the words "do not fear" came before the message. The angel recognized fear present in all of those cases, and without condemnation or a lecture or any "you shouldn't be afraid, you know," there is a gentle "do not be afraid." We are immediately given reassurance that God is with us, that we're not alone. And I think for me, that's the greatest thing I need, is the reassurance that God is present, always with me. And just to recognize God's imminence, the imminence of God's presence with me, is in and of itself reassuring. And while we are looking now at the Christmas story and thinking about the four times that the angel said, "Do not be afraid," I thought it was interesting to see how many times that was said throughout the Bible. So I did a little search with my Bible program that I have, and in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, 59 times God or God's representative said, "Do not be afraid." 15 times in the four Gospels. Four of those are in the Christmas story, which I've just told you. There are 11 more times in which Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." So clearly it's a strong message of all of Scripture to not be afraid. But after the angel says, "Do not be afraid," he tells the person why he came. "Your old wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby." Or to Mary, "You will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Son of God." Or to Joseph, "Take Mary as your wife, for the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Or to the shepherds, "Go and see the baby, the Messiah, in a manger." In every case, it was unusual and astounding news, a message from God about a miracle that was taking place. And all of these messages are life-changing. Nothing will be the same for any of those people. It's interesting to know that the one that doesn't believe is the priest in the temple, the professional God-man, the one whose job it was to go into the sanctuary of the Lord and pray. When the angel appeared, Zechariah couldn't believe what he heard. In this case, he isn't given a choice to refuse the message like some of the others were. Rather, Zechariah loses his voice, an additional sign that God has spoken. You know, sometimes God can be very persistent. We assume that the righteous will say yes and are ready for whatever God brings. But all of us, even the righteous among us, are human. And those of us steeped in the ways of God are often limited by our expectations. We expect God to follow the rules. The other three accepted the messages from God and accepted their place within the message. The words to Mary really tell how this can happen to any of us. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." It's not in our strength, but in the strength and power of God that we are called to follow. Whatever we are called to do, it is this power of God that overshadows us, making it possible. I love the verse that says that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because so often we feel completely incapable and unable for whatever it is we sense God calling us to do. We are only asked to be faithful and willing, and God does the rest. In the end, Zechariah knew the truth of God's presence as well and declared, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So what message is God saying to us today? In what arenas does God say to us, "Do not be afraid"? In order to hear the still small voice of God, we have to lay down our protective stance, to give up the attitude that guaranteed safety is both my right and my demand. Instead, we listen with compassion and we invite God to lead us. We take our fears to God and we ask for God's help in letting them go. And then we stay in listening mode, both individually and as a community of faith, both in the gathered community and as we are dispersed. Because as followers of Jesus, we know this to be the crucial element in finding way forward. And as we listen, we remember. Remember the verse in Scripture that says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And we recognize that perfect love was born that day and laid in a manger for everyone to see. The angel's words to the shepherd were good news of great joy for all the people. And it means that the fear that we hold within our heart must give way to the greater power of love that is for all people. We remember Herod's fear and the tragedy he caused in his effort to kill the threat, where he killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger. We remember that Mary and Joseph took Jesus and fled to Egypt, refugees from Herod's fear. We remember Jesus' call to compassion for the outcast, the marginalized persons. We remember the stories of the leper, of the woman at the well, of the woman caught in adultery, of Jesus who ate with sinners, and many, many more. We remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, and wonder if it isn't our parable of the good Muslim. We remember the words of Jesus, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And we say, "When did we do those things?" And Jesus said, "When you did them to the least of these." We remember that Jesus said, "We are not his only sheep." He said, "I have other sheep that do not belong in this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." We remember that Jesus came at a time of great change and spoke of love and grace. The truth is that the world is changing all around us, and God will walk with us in that change. He walks with us in the change rather than take us out of it and take us back to our familiar ways. Jesus ushers in the New Testament and abolishes the old laws and the old ways and gives us a new way of living. The law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And we remember that God is with us and that the presence of the Almighty God with us is enough. And we are reminded that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We remember that God said, "Do not be afraid." And as we listen, what does God say next? And after we receive this message that we are not to be afraid, what does God ask of us? What message comes as our next steps? And how are we to live in our world today as followers of Jesus? Let us wait in open worship. Wait and listen to the presence of God who has come and who says, "Do not be afraid." And listen as we wait for God's continuing message to come to us.